Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
What's up, everybody? Dave Destruction Sturcio here with another episode of Destruction 101, episode 34. 34 episodes of this, and you know, it's funny, as I start to record this, and it's 9:52 at night. I should be sound asleep. I should be in bed. I'm exhausted. But funny, at the end of my intro, you hear that Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcasting school has really paid off. And that's from Major League, a movie, one of my favorite movies, sports movies, and it's Bob Uecker. And it's a segue to pretty much announce and tell the people that listen to this show on the regular, if they're out there, which I know there's a couple. So the Nets called today, as expected. I announced it last night on my social medias. The Nets would call and tell me yay or nay. And it's a no. They decided to go a completely different direction. I apologize. You know, this is very unprofessional of me to not have his name in front of me. It is Olivier Cedra, and he comes from the Cleveland Cavaliers as the chosen one to be the new PA announcer for the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I know some of you are thinking, but wait, didn't they hold an audition? Yeah, they did, and I was there. And then they narrowed it down from the 350, 400 people down to four, and I was a part of that four. So where do they go from there? So doesn't that mean like they got to choose one of those four? Well, you would think, right? But unfortunately, you know, this is a business, and they had to make a business move. And you know, a guy like him, his caliber, he's world known. He's not just with the Cavaliers known. He's, you know, the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, but he's also he performed in the Olympics. As far as a voice. And so right off the bat, like that's awesome. The process was kind of weird. It was drawn out, and you know, you guys listened to my voice time and time again of me updating you guys left and right that I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and you know, nobody ever gave me the call I was looking for. So you know, it is what it is. Am I disappointed? Yes. Am I proud of myself? Yeah, I am. After getting off the phone with, you know, the guy that made the decisions, he said that the decision was out of his control, and I firmly believe that. I think that he was going to choose me. I do, based on what he told me and based on the communication I've had with the other guys, the other three finalists. It seemed like he was going to choose me, and this opportunity presented itself. And you know, sometimes when you're trying to rebuild a franchise like the Nets are trying to do, you know, you have to take bigger risks, and maybe that's what they're doing by bringing in a higher profile guy. But again, it doesn't mean everything I did was a waste. I'm proud of what I did. I'm proud of how far I got. Am I sad? Yeah, I'm sad. You know, it was a dream position, a golden opportunity to take advantage of a tryout to work for a professional basketball team, and you know, came up short. So that's, you know, I have to just get back on the saddle and then, you know, hope for the best. I think I did well, and then that's it. That's the only thing you could do. You can't overanalyze. You can't say like, well, you know, it should have been me, and this is bullshit, and blah blah blah. And you want me to like complain and bitch and moan, but it's not really my style. And you know, I guess if this happened to me 5 years ago, I could probably be singing a different tune. But I'm choosing not to. And congratulations to Olivier. I think he's a world-class talent. Shout out to Nick, one of the guys I met in this journey, in this process. So if that had anything else, I mean, it might sound corny, but I got myself a new friend out of it. I mean, you know, there's always room for those. And, you know, he's younger than me, and this is almost like his first taste of rejection when it comes to, you know, in this business. And trust me, I've been doing it for 10 years now, trying to chase this dream. And, you know, a lot of people have said no. You know, a lot of people have taken a chance on me, which is more appreciated than you can possibly imagine. But, you know, you get told no a lot. This was just a really, really long, drawn-out no. So, you know, like I said, it is what it is. I wish it was different. Trust me, the closer it got to decision, the more I wanted it, because I felt like I could really establish myself. And the Nets announced it on Twitter this morning before I even found out officially. You know, there was rumors flying around, and you know, you find out it's the world of social media now, folks. Like, it is, like, you're gonna find out a lot more shit quicker. And you know, so it is what it is. Like I said, one of those things you can always say you did. I have my audition tape, and I'm proud of myself, and that's it. You know, congrats to him, and go Knicks, because I'm a Knicks fan anyway, so that would have been a conflict of interest. But yeah, so anyway, didn't want to start it off on a shit note, but it is what it is. It was one of the topics on the forefront and on the old agenda today anyway, so I might as well have gotten the negative out of the way and put the positive in front of me. So it's been a while. You know, I've been doing this bi-weekly now, every other week. So a lot has kind of transpired. 2 weeks in the NFL, 2 weeks of coaching, 2 weeks of school, 2 weeks of everything that I've got going on. 2 weeks ago, this past Saturday? No, it happened on the 9th. And today is the 19th. So 10 days ago, WrestlePro put on a show, at the Rahway Rec Center. And I got to do my thing again. Got to ring announce. I got to do the commentary. Got to set up being around a cage for the first time ever. You know, it was spectacular, top to bottom. It was really something special. And we had a loaded show. And I saw things on that show that I truly didn't think I was going to ever see. You know, I mean, you know, call me a fanboy or not, but Ryback is continued to impress me, you know, outside of WWE more than he did in the WWE. WWE billed him as a big guy, and, you know, he would toss guys around and yada, yada, yada. He would just be that big bully dude. But if you see him on the indies, man, and I cannot say enough about his work. His work ethic, just making sure he can go with every single competitor that he is faced to go against. Like, you know, a lot of these promoters are trying to book him like big guy versus big guy, but Pat does it right, and he put him against AR Fox, and they killed it. And you can look for that tonight and today as this drops on Wednesday on the WrestlePro Facebook page. I've been uploading some of the matches that have transpired. We started yesterday with Joey Janela and Tommy Dreamer, which got over 2,000 views. Tonight we released, or Tuesday as I'm recording this, we released the Dan Moff and Pat Buck cage match, which is now segueing into a barbed wire match for Friday the 13th. And that's going to be a bloodbath. So I pray for Pat and his wife, Lauren. I just pray for him. I don't know why he wants to get into this shit, but he loves it. And that's totally cool. And he wants to make sure that he basically checks off something else on his checklist of things to do in wrestling. He also said that if he loses this match, he will not wrestle in WrestlePro again. So, and I talked to Moff periodically. You know, we don't try to, kayfabe is a, you know, for those of you who don't know what kayfabe is something that we in wrestling pretty much call where we're trying to keep wrestling, like, quote, real to everybody. So for me to say, like, yeah, I talked to Dan Moff yesterday when he's coming out like a bat out of hell, shit crazy man at WrestlePro kicking everybody's ass, he's still one of my biggest mentors and supporters and, you know, just friends. So he also said, I'm going to put my career on the line. And I don't know if that's been announced yet, but eventually you're going to find out that it's career versus career. So I'm very excited about it. I'm also very sad about it because somebody's walking away. And you can offer me money, I still couldn't tell you who's going to walk away from that match. But yeah, so tonight we released the cage match. Tomorrow's Ryback and AR Fox, and so on and so forth. The card as a whole, you know, shout out to all the guys, new tag team champions, Matt McIntosh and Valerio Lamorte, the Apple Corps. Special shout out to Casey Cattell, who right now is, if she's listening, I hope she's resting, because I know today, I believe, is her surgery for her broken fucking face. I mean, I saw that thing live as it happened. I thought I saw her nose shift to the side of her face. Like, it was gruesome. Nobody's at fault. Like, I hate when people try to put that on people. Habib jumped off the top, her face was in the way, and that's it. Like, it's a timing thing. And you really, you know, wrestling is not as fake as everybody wants it to be. So she got kneed in the face, and it was a bloodbath, man. It was very disturbing to watch and see. But she's doing well. I talked to her that night. She was fine. She's just worried about her face. And why wouldn't she? She's a beautiful girl, so she's probably a little scared. But she's a trooper, and she finished her spot and her match and waved to the crowd and sent her on her way. But like I said, as a whole, that entire show was incredible. And I said this in the past podcast, that WrestlePro was thinking about slowing down unless it had a successful September, October, November, December. And I think we really kicked it off like big time. And shout out to the Jersey Wrecking Crew, as I'm wearing your shirt right now as I record the High Spot podcast. We're able to get a lot of sound, including myself. I have not listened to it yet. I will get around to it, and I will do it. Go subscribe to their podcast. They're really good dudes, and they were a sponsor on the show. And I always want to make sure it's worthwhile for them to be there and to get all the sound they can and interviews. And I know for a fact I got, you know, Janella and CPA and the Apple Corps and like all these people that they asked for. They got as many as they could. They even got the chance to talk to the big guy. Maybe not at the opportune time. That was my fault. I was like, yeah, go ask him anything. He doesn't have a fucking line of 25 people behind you. Even Pat looked at me like, dude, come on. Like, you know better than that. So that's my fault. But yeah, he had a great showing. They had a great showing there. Just as a whole, man, just top to bottom, everybody had a good time. My wife was in the audience. She had a great time. She was sitting with my friend PJ, who always brings his kids. My main student, my main guy, as I said, I don't like to, you know, drop names on here for confidentiality reasons, but he knows who he is. He listens to this. Unfortunately, I tell him not to, because there's just too much language in this for him. But he was the one that reminded me today, to be honest with you. I was walking with him to school. He's like, oh, you got to record tonight, right? I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, yeah, I'll definitely do it. And then I literally waited and waited and waited. And then I had to go, I had practice after school for the football team, which I'll get into in a minute. But I also, you know, I had to go to my new house that I'm potentially going to have, which is pretty much looking like a September 28th closing date. So I'm about to be a homeowner, which is fucking... no fucking way. Like, in my head, I'm like, there's no shot. Like, how the fuck did you pull this off? So within a year, I took a huge pay cut, and I got a brand new truck and a possible house. You tell me how that works. Shout out to my main guy. He was there. He had a great time. I heard him over my commentary a couple times, so I put him over on commentary saying that I believe he was asking for tables for one of the matches, and you know, he had a ball. He has his whole family there in the front row. So shout out to him. Great first 2 weeks of school. Tomorrow, as you're listening to this, we have for whatever reason, I don't know why, we have Thursday and Friday off. I don't personally, but like the school does. And it's been a solid 2 weeks. We're having a great time, just as expected. I go to school, no matter what kind of mood I'm in, I see that dude, and he just lights up the room, and he's a phenomenal student. He's a hard worker, and I seem to be, you know, me and him click, so we're having a really good time. So that's what makes the job a lot easier, and makes it worth it. You know, we don't get paid a lot in that position, and anybody would know that who's in my position. But when you get to see a guy like that, and he's a pleasant, you know, he's a pleasant kid, you know, and he's not like what I had last year, where I had to like drag kids down the hall and chase kids around the school. Like, it's not like that this year. So thank you for that, kiddo. But anyway, so yeah, WrestlePro, like I said. Going forward, it's going to be huge. We have October 13th and 14th. 13th in Rahway, 14th is in Brooklyn, New York. But before that, this Saturday, if you're not doing anything, it's supposed to be like 82 and sunny and beautiful. and you're in the Edison, New Jersey area, come down to the Edison Fall Family Spectacular, which is a phenomenal fair that I've been a part of since the PWS days. Like we were doing it then, and then all of a sudden, you know, Pat got right back involved with WrestlePro, and it was phenomenally fun last year. I had a good time with all the boys. I will be there the second show. The first show is obviously, there's going to be two shows. I think there's like 13 matches total, or 14 matches total, seven on each show. First show's at 1:30, I believe, or 1 o'clock, and then the second show's at 3:30. I'll be able to make the 3:30 show, I think. It's going to be tight. This coaching thing is great. It's unpaid, but it's great. I love being involved with the team, and you know, the summer was totally worth it to be on the sidelines and then up on top of the press box calling down on the plays and shit. Like, it's been so surreal, but it's so time-consuming. I don't have a friggin' second to myself lately. Like, after school, I used to take pride in going to the gym right after school every day and getting my lift on and feeling good about myself. I haven't been able to lift, like, on a full week schedule for a long time, and it's starting to really creep up on me because I'm really starting to feel like sluggish. And just before, like, I tried to get out of bed just to record and I couldn't even move. Like, it's just, maybe I'm getting old, or maybe I just need to get back into the swing of things because it's bad. But those kids, you know, the Franklin Warriors, I've been a coach with them now since end of June, and we've played two games. The first game we went over to Phillipsburg. And got, you know, we hung with them, which was kind of great to see. It was a relief to see that my team, after all the entire summer training camps, double sessions, all sorts of shit, you know, they came out and they fought hard for one half of football, and then like they just fell apart in the second half, and that happens. That totally happens. But then the following week, you know, we had a great week of practice. We were in high spirits that the town was finally talking about these guys, and it's been a long time since anybody talked about the Franklin Warriors. You know, they went 1-9 for the last 3 years. So it's been a very, very hard, like, go for these kids. And now some of the seniors on this team, this is their last chance to make an impact and leave a legacy for the Warriors. And, you know, new coaching staff, myself included, like, we're riding these guys, and we are truly, like, we're, like, Hitler to these kids. And it's not, I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, we are drilling these kids every day, making them sprint, making them do the suicides, practicing our balls off. So we came into the Montgomery week, our first home game, with a lot more confidence because we hung with Pberg, which is a Pberg, if you don't know, is always been, since I was in high school, a powerhouse high school football team and a program there that's just built on winning. And we went in there and we hung with them. So we knew that we had some kind of upper edge going against Montgomery, and we did. We blew the fucking barn doors off these guys, 42-14. And I'm telling you, man, everybody who was anybody was there in attendance that night. We brought together an entire town for one huge, huge event. And they got their first win. And I felt that rush. I felt that, like, that the crowd was cheering, all the kids were smiling, like everybody was happy, and it was just a really good feel-good moment for the program, for the school, for the town. It was something really cool to be a part of. So that's basically what's happened as far as, like, professionally for me, between wrestling and you know, coaching and the house and the Nets, and everything's just been, it's been really busy, really busy. But I think it's going to slow down eventually. And I told my wife this tonight, we were having dinner, and I said, you know, I think some of these indie people are going to be very pissed off going forward, because for the last couple weeks, months, I've been focused so much on this Nets thing that I kind of let my bookings of being on the indies, either as a commentator or a ring announcer or whatever the case may be, kind of slip to the side a little bit. But now that the Nets thing is, you know, came and went, and like, I had my experience and I had a great time. But now I'm back, and I think that I have a chance to go back to some of the independent companies and piss some people off, because I know I'm better. So, and I'm not trying to be confident, cocky or anything like that, but I know my abilities, and I know that if these people in these independent companies want to succeed, I know the only way to do so is to up your production level. Like, it's one thing to draw tickets and put people in the seats, but it's another thing to expand your product, get it on, you know, online, like WrestlePro, like Battle Club Pro. Those companies are production company, production value, top notch shit. Other people need to start following suit if they want to grow as a company. If you're comfortable with just selling tickets and putting on these fantasy matches, go for it. I don't care. Do what you want. But I'm just saying, going forward, you know, I'm going to be back on the independent scene trying to get my name out there one more time. And, you know, I'm back on the saddle. So here we go. We're going to take a little break. We'll get to, unfortunately, our sponsor, who we had, is still our sponsor for this week. I told him I'd do him a solid because it was already produced and created. Jeremy Thompson and his play that he's going to be in. He's fallen on some tough times as far as, you know, whatever the case may be. Everybody, you know, root this kid on. He's a good dude. And, of course, go check out his show that's coming up in October. Called The Lion in Winter. So we're going to hear word from them. We're going to hear from Gino God's Kicked in the Head. And yeah, we'll be back right after this. Hey everybody, this is Dave Destruction Sergio, and I'm here to talk to you about a new passion of mine, the theater. That's right, we're bringing you another blockbuster hit that opens this October, entitled The Lion in Winter. You see, it's Christmas 1183. King Henry II is planning to announce his successor to his throne. The jockeying and battle for this crown, though, a little complex. You see, Henry has three sons. He wants his boy Prince John to take over. Henry's wife, Queen Eleanor, believes their son Prince Richard should be the king. And to add to this, don't forget about Geoffrey, who's plotting and scheming his way for his own advantages. You see, Henry had Eleanor in prison for the last 10 years because of her last civil war attempt failed. But since then, fell in love with young Elias, sister to the King of France. This is getting crazier and crazier. If you're not intrigued already, I don't know what to tell you. This has twists, deception, family drama. The Lion of Winter is an engaging play that will leave audiences engrossed until its very final moments. The show had a successful run on stage and was made into two movies, one starring Peter O'Toole and Katharine Hepburn, and most recently the version starring Patrick Stewart and the very own Glenn Close. The show will be presented at the Pennsylvania Playhouse in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, directed by Claire M. Freeman, with Gene Connolly and Jeannie Ola, starring as King Henry and Queen Eleanor, and featuring our very own Jeremy Thompson as Richard Lionheart, Colin Walsh as Geoffrey, Chris Kaiser as John, Marion Barsinger as Elias, and Drake Nestor as King Philip. This play opens up October 6th and runs for 3 weekends. That's right, 3 chances to see this. Tickets are just $25, $22 for students and seniors. Available at www.paplayhouse.org. That's www.paplayhouse.org or 610-865-6665. Go check out The Lion in Winter this October and do not be disappointed.
Damn, that's a great fucking song. What do you hear? What do you say? It's your boy Gino Guts. I'm back for the 25th straight week in a row on the Destruction 101 podcast, which is on the B Plus Player Radio, which is on the Shining Wizards Network. Now, speaking of the B Plus Player Radio, that's where you're gonna find Gino Guts' new program, but I'll get to that in a minute. I want to talk about the Jersey Wrecking Crew of the High Spots podcast. They were nice enough to have good old Gino on their show, so I'm sure the ratings went up, while they were covering WrestlePro from Raway. Minkya, that show was unfucking believable. You had Dreamer and Janela. I thought that was going to go one way, but Dreamer, whew, he made sure it went another way. Then we had the ECW original, the champion, Bobby Lashley. He took on Colt Cabana, and Colt walked away with a victory. Hey, a win's a win. I don't care how he did it. Check the box score. And if you don't know, you better hope it's on YouTube sooner or later, because you missed a fucking gem. Now, I can go up and down the card, but you should have fucking been there. So, if you don't want to miss nothing, you better come next time. Rollway, October 13th, the barbed wire match between Danny Moff, God himself, and the creator, Pat Buck. Whew, that's gonna be fucking brutal. Also, we've got the Spirit Squad stepping into the ring with the Taboo Crew. The only cheerleaders we like. They go on poles and the little skirts come up. No, yeah, I know. You're right. There were kids that listened to this night from the any fucking ways. Let me talk about the show we got coming up. I'm going to be calling it A Drink with Dino. I'm going to insist that my guest have at least one shot, one alcoholic beverage with your boy Dino Gatz. Now, I'm going to steal a little bit from everybody, and it's going to progress as it goes along. But for starters, I want to have a short 20-ish minute interview with some of your favorite superstars, some of your favorite wrestlers, some of your favorite, all right, maybe not your favorites, the people I can get my hands on. Then I'm going to talk to my boy, my producer, my Johnny Maz, Johnny Bacala, Johnny Moe, Big Hawk, whatever you want to call him. We're going to talk. You're going to get an outsider's opinion on the wrestling business, and we're going to shoot the shit. Now, I want to ask you, the fans, don't get used to this because I'm not going to ask you much, but I'm going to ask you now. Hey, yeah, John, I know it's going a little long. Loop the fucking song back around and fucking just do it. Anyways, I'm almost done. I want to talk to the fans. I want you to hit me up on the Twitter. It's Gino under thingy Gatz. And I want you to tell me who you want to be my first guest. I'm going to give you I'm going to give you a couple options here. Now, somebody I want on the show, maybe not the first week, but before that barbed wire match, you mark my words, I will have a conversation with God himself, Mr. Danny Moth, if he doesn't tell me by then. But for this first week, I want to keep it fresh. I want to either talk to number one, Casey Catal, and what happened to her. That broad is hardcore. She's hardcore. She's hardcore. She got her nose smashed by the flying Habib. Just knees to the face. There's nothing tougher than watching that broad just shake it off and make her way to the back. Much respect to that one. I want to talk to her post-surgery and see how she's doing on her road to recovery. I also want to give you the option of another female wrestler. She might not be able to do interviews like this much longer. When the Big E signs her, I want to talk to Mae Young Classic participant Mia Yim. Now the third, and my choice, I would love to, I want to get the new tag team champions, Matt McIntosh and the ever-entertaining Death Valley Valerio La Morte. Now I want you to tweet at me, tag them, tweet at them, put hashtag A Drink with Gino, let me know who you want to talk to me. This is Gino Gatz. I'm going a little long. I'm going to sign off. You're only as good as your last envelope, so keep that hustle going, baby.
My head keeps spinning.
Thank you, Gino Gatz. And don't forget to check out his newest podcast coming up on the B-Plus Player Radio. I'm sure he'll be affiliated with the Shining Wizards Network, who are the guys that bring you my podcast. So thank you to those guys as well. Gino Gatz, I think A Drink with Gino. So he wants the guys apparently to get drunk before they talk to Gino, which, I mean, don't you think you would have to get drunk to talk to Gino anyway? So just kidding, buddy. But thanks for that. Another installment of Kicked in the Head. So we talked about my life going on professionally, but why don't we talk a little bit about my life going fantasy football. The regular football season both have kicked off, and so far so good, I would say. We'll start off with the real deal first, because you know that's real and it's what I'm passionate about. So week one comes and goes. The Cowboys get the quote Super Bowl victory over the New York Giants. To me, it was one of those moments where I needed it. I needed that really bad. I did. It was my birthday. I wrapped up my birthday with a seal and a bow with the Dallas Cowboys beating the Giants. Giants played like god awful garbage that night, and people were starting to worry like, ooh, I don't know, like that offensive line, I'm not sure, you know. And then fast forward a week. And we come up to week two. Dallas is 1-0. You know, the Giants are 0-1. Dallas goes into Denver, completely shellacked. I'm almost embarrassed. I was just, it just didn't look good. It didn't feel good. It was rough. It was rough to watch. You know, nothing worked. Nothing. The Cowboys just couldn't run the ball. They couldn't pass the ball. Couldn't play defense. I mean, guys were getting hurt immediately. The defensive secondary was down to like their ninth string guys. So it was definitely a challenge. But the Broncos are just a better team. They're a lot better than the Giants. Their offense was incredible. But then the Giants played on Monday night, last night, as I'm recording this on Tuesday. They played last night, and people were like, okay, they're home. They got to bounce back. Okay, Odell Beckham is making his season debut. They got to bounce back. What do? They put up 10 points and sucked balls again. This offensive line, no bullshit. If I hit the gym for like, I don't know, 6 months straight, and I'm dedicated, blah, 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 I could probably be a better offensive lineman than the fucking guys they have thrown out there right now. Hold on. Wow, sneezing on the air. Professional. Like it matters. But anyway, so the Giants offensive line, led by Flowers, I mean, this guy is just hot garbage. And I don't feel bad for Eli because I don't like him. I don't like the Giants. I actually hate the New York Giants more than I hate like the Boston Red Sox. More than I hate like Geno Gotts. You know what I'm talking about? Like real deep, deep hatred. For real though, like the Giants offensive line was just something to just be embarrassed to watch. Like if you're a Giants fan, you can't expect you guys. Now the Giants have to go into Philly, and Philly is playing a whole hell of a lot better than the Giants. So if the Giants can go into Philly, then I can say, okay, maybe there's a bounce back there. And even if they're 1-2, a win in Philly is huge. But if the Giants start 0-3, you can do all the record books and mathematics you want. The odds of them making a playoff run this season is very, very low, especially with the teams that are in the NFC that are really starting to emerge. So you either, you know, for the NFC East, you almost have to win the division. I don't know where everybody else is going to go. It's only 2 weeks in. I got to hope that Dallas bounces back next week against Arizona. In Arizona. So it's a two-week trip. But anyway, so yeah, the Giants just look like, it's just, ugh. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You know who doesn't look like that? And that's my fantasy teams, folks. As a whole, I have three teams. And my overall record is 2-4-5-1 out of six games. So I'm 2-0 in two leagues and 1-1 in another. One of the leagues is obviously the Create a Pro / Wrestle Pro League that we put together, led by our lovely, esteemed, crooked commissioner, Raleigh the Stallion Allen, who's banned from Facebook right now. So you really can't talk to him because you call a guy white trash and well, that's just another story. But yeah. Yeah, he always made fun of my C-plus draft because I guess when you're on Yahoo, you get graded. And the grading system is a fucking joke. But I got a C-plus draft. Everybody got a C-plus draft. You know, except for one guy got a B and another guy got a D. I don't think anybody got an A or anything like that. But I'm 2-0. You know, I haven't scored a lot of points, but I'm playing the right teams. You know how you have to just play to your schedule. It's not my fault that I played teams that are really, really bad. And that one being Mike Bucci, otherwise known as Nova from ECW, beat him week one. And then week two, I beat Brother Keenan from the Matt Hardy trials and whatever you want to call him, from Impact Wrestling, senior referee of WrestlePro, Kevin Keenan, beat him week two. Next week, I got Johnny Silver. So I know for a fact that he's going to be bringing the noise. But right now, I'm predicted to win and head to 3-0. So stay tuned for that. Another league I'm in, my biggest money league is the one I'm 2-0 in. And that's what happens when you take a gamble and you draft the GOAT in the second round. Tom Brady was an angry mother effer last week, and I knew that was coming. When he shit the bed the first week, boy, I just knew. With the Saints secondary as bad as it is, I just knew that Tom Brady was going to go off the wall in that game. My other league, my league that I've been running for 13 years, I'm 1-1, and I just lost to a girl. So I lost to Jen. But this girl, Jen, is a sports nut. She's good. She's great. She's won a title in my league, so she knows what she's doing. The girls that don't particularly might not know what they're doing are the trophy wives, which is me, my buddy Mark, and my brother's wife. the wives, all right, my wife, Mark's wife, my brother's wife, they came up with a little trifecta team, and they scored their first win over Mark. So now Mark has lost two games in a row. I know you don't know these people. You're like, who the fuck are these people? I'm just giving you a general idea that two girls were victorious in my fantasy football league. So it can be done, folks. It can be done. So expand your horizons. But fantasy football is up and running. The NFL is up and running. I'm excited. The Major League Baseball playoffs are heating up. At this point right now, I don't see the Yankees coming close to the division win unless they win tonight and Boston loses and they can get it back down to two. I don't know. But right now they have a comfy lead on being that number one wild card, which would mean they would host a wild card game. So what does that mean? It means we have to sit through and fucking stress over another wild card game with the New York Yankees. We had to do it when they played the Astros and Dallas Keuchel just shut us up and dropped bombs on us. So it's nerve-wracking to know that you can be so good in the regular season and then another team can just kind of squeak in as that second wild card and beat you, and then now they're in the playoffs. I hate it. I don't like it, and I guess I'll never like it until I get a good taste out of my mouth. So basically what I'm saying is the Yankees got to win this year in that wild card game for me to appreciate that wild card game, but I still don't. It's just extra TV. That's all this is for Major League Baseball. It's just another game they can put on TV and call the postseason, which is bullshit. It's not the postseason. It's one more game. It's like a tiebreaker. It's insane. I hate it. And unfortunately, the Yankees are like making a beeline for that game. So we'll know more, obviously, as the season goes on. There's only about 2 weeks left in the regular season. So what that means is that Rangers hockey is starting up. I know they've had a preseason game or two already. The Nets and the Knicks, obviously, we spoke about the Nets plenty in the beginning of the show. But the basketball is coming back. College basketball, college football is up and going. It's a good time to be a sports fan. This is why I love the fall in particular, because right around now, mid-September, late September, early October, you have all the major sports either A, starting, B, finishing. Like, it's just a good time to be alive. we're also coming off a Triple G Golovkin versus what the fuck is it? Why can't I think of his name? Well, you know who I'm talking about. Which was a complete bullshit fight. I think, don't get me wrong, the fight itself was great. The fight itself was awesome. Canelo and Triple G. The fight itself was great. I guess I don't understand boxing enough anymore as far as the scoring is concerned, but this was a draw. But one judge had it 118-110, meaning it was a completely one-sided fight. So how can one judge it that way, and then other judges say, no, it was close. It was actually a draw. Like, nobody won. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make much sense to me. But then again, I'm not a judge. I'm not a fucking boxing guru. I'm not one to say I'm an expert, but I always looked at it like, wait, how is that possible? You know, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, I've been all over the place. But one special thing before I wrap this up, and if it does fall short of the normal time, it's only because it is 10:30 at night on a Tuesday, and I got to wake up early for work. So I just don't want to be up too late. But I do want to say rest in peace to Bobby the Brain Heenan. A trailblazer, trendsetter, amazing, amazing personality on the professional wrestling business. He was a part of the first ever interaction I personally ever had with pro wrestling. It was, and I've said this numerous amount of times, I've said it that the first wrestling that I've ever seen was on the USA Network Saturday morning or Sunday morning, one of the two. It was the Barbershop episode with Shawn Michaels and Jannetty and Brutus the Barber Beefcake. And, you know, Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan are on the call. And, you know, after Shawn turns on him and throws him through the barbershop window, you know, Heenan comes out and says, oh, you know, look at that. Jannetty threw himself through the window. And right then I was like, that was hilarious. I'm 7 years old and I'm laughing. You know, fast forward. Everybody always says, and I believe in this, when Hulk Hogan turned towards the NWO and helped out the Outsiders that night, like, did Heenan spoil it? I know there's a lot of theories about this, but, like, Heenan saw red and yellow Hulk Hogan coming out looking jacked up, ready to kick some Outsider ass, And Bobby Heenan yells out, yeah, but whose side is he on? And why would you ever put that thought in somebody's mind? And they swear to God, there's stories that saying, no, it's fine. You know, he didn't give it away, but I think he did. But anyway, Bobby Heenan was a trailblazer, and a lot of people mimic his managerial skills now where they're trying to create families, hence the EJ5, hence Gino Gotz wearing that jacket where it looks like, you know, the Brains jacket. Like, there's a lot of things that he left the broadcasting of professional wrestling business. He was knowledgeable, hence the Brain. You know, he knew everything about everything. He was a personality, and he was awesome. So rest in peace. He, you know, I saw him at the end of his life, and you know, you don't like to see people in that state. You know, you always want to remember somebody for, you know, being in good health and just looking better and looking more full of life, where, you know, sometimes unfortunately diseases kick in and they really deteriorate you, and they make you not, they make you look like not you, you know? So it's kind of scary and very sad. But rest in peace, Bobby Heenan. You know, the wrestling world lost a huge legend. I was going to touch on Starrcade. I'm not going to do it, only because, again, some things are better left alone. These Starrcades were something of the past. Why they're being brought back, I have no idea. Is it just a, you know, some kind of, not scheme, but just like a another way to get you to watch the network? Yeah, maybe. WWE current product right now, I don't watch a lot of, because A, I've been busy, and B, once football season starts, I kind of just veer off to a football mindset. But then, good thing I got my student, because my student fills me in every Tuesday and Wednesday, which he's going to have to fill me in. As you're listening to this tonight, he already filled me in this morning. So, because he does that. He's good like that. But yeah, I mean, it's not that I fall off completely. Like, some of the storylines are great. I think the Cena and Reigns thing is unbelievable right now, how much they're letting him do. The Brock and Braun stuff, awesome. The Intercontinental title picture, I think that's great. Not a huge fan of the women's division, but I'm in complete infatuation love with Alexa Bliss. I love the way she wrestles. I love the way she looks, obviously. And I love the way that she just presents herself. She's got a lot of charisma. You know, so, and the Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens thing. Wow. I watched that last week. That's something I did catch. And Vince taking bumps and taking a headbutt and whatever. Like, boy, that guy is in his mid-70s, and he's doing his thing. He's not even, I worry about that shit. You're 300-something pounds coming crashing down on you. Believe it or not, folks. You know, I know you guys look at wrestling like they know how to fall or they know how to take a bump or whatever. But that's a big body coming down on you. And for Vince McMahon, but he'll do anything. He'll do anything at the age of 70, whatever, almost 80. You know, he'll do anything to get the product over and to get somebody's character right over the top. You know, he did this with Brock. He did this with Austin, obviously. You know, the entire Attitude Era was based on Austin just kicking the shit out of an old man. You know what I mean? So, like, this is the rub that Kevin Owens is getting, and he's probably going to run through. If I had a guess, he's going to run through Shane McMahon, too. And the McMahon family is going to be in disarray, and here comes Triple H. That's just a guess. I could be completely wrong, but again, it's one of those things where it's almost too good to be true, and if it comes up, it comes up. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But with that being said, I'm going to head out of here. I'm going to go to bed because I'm exhausted. I got to send this over to production. Thank you so much to Shiny Wizards Tony, who always gets it going, along with Mark Adam Haggerty for the B+ Player Radio. I appreciate all you guys have done. I really sincerely thank everybody for following me on the Nets journey. I know it was a long, drawn-out process, but now that it's over, I really want to sit back and say thank you to everybody who supported me, who you know, rooted me on, who thought I was going to be something. And I truly think I'm already something. I think I've done enough to be somewhat known. But that would have put me over the top. And because of you guys just rooting me on, it really, really had me going and had me thinking that this could be really great. And it still can be. I'm not closing the door on anybody. That's why I'm not going around on social media saying, F the Nets. Like, I'm not an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, this is a business. You got to rub people the right way. You just got to keep smiling and just keep moving on. I'm not going to go into hiding and say, like, oh, I hate my life. I can't believe I can't get this job. There's plenty of jobs out there, and I'm going to attack it all with full force. You can follow me and all my ventures on my social medias. facebook.com/DaveDestruction, facebook.com/Destruction101 for the Facebook page, Instagram, Dave Sturch, Twitter, Dave Sturch, Snapchat, Dave Destruction 2, if you're on that and want to send me some filters or whatever the fuck you can send on those things as well. I know it's expanding. You can also go on my Facebook page and look for a Snap Raise link that I keep posting every so often. I'm trying to raise money and funds for my Franklin Warrior football team so they can get some new gear, which are up to about $2,000 now. So I sincerely thank anybody who's been affiliated with that, because I know it started with like $50 and then we just grew. With that being said, I'll take off now. Look for Gino Gotts Kicked in the Head, or I'm not sorry, not Kicked in the Head. Drink with Gino, coming up soon on the B Plus Player Radio. Go download Conversation with the Big Guy. It's Ryback and Pat Buck on iTunes. Listen to them every Monday with a new episode. Follow all my wrestling friends online. Do the best you can as far as supporting all these guys. Every single one of them has a dream and a goal, and it's all just it's a process of getting to these goals, taking the bumps, and just keep on moving forward. So everybody enjoy the weekend. I hope to see all of you guys over at the Edison Fall Festival. Like I said, if I'm not even ring announcing, I will be there to hang out with the guys and help them clean up the place. All right. So with that being said, let's go Cowboys next week. And I guess let's go Philly, because Giants could be 0-3. 0-3. Oh, boy. I'll talk to you guys later.